Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you as we've been going through this series of scattered to sent, to be reminded that we were the scattered sheep, the lost sheep, spiritually wandering, and yet you have brought us into the fold of God. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his accomplished work on the cross. And Father, we're going to talk about a subject that's a little difficult for a lot of us. I know it is for me, this concept of surrender. God, I pray that, God, I give you this message. I surrender it to you. It's yours. God, I pray that you help us in our daily lives be able to surrender what you've called us to. God, I pray for your blessing on this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So in parts of Africa and Asia, I learned this week that there are locals who try and catch monkeys, okay? Their motive varies on why they catch monkeys, but what I want you to know today is the method by which they try and catch these monkeys. And this is how they do it. Imagine with me, they'll take a coconut, okay? Imagine a coconut. They hollow out the coconut. They take out a small hole. They'll drill a small hole into the coconut. And they'll stick some sort of fruit or something like that into the coconut. They'll take this coconut. They'll take a rope. They'll tie the rope around the coconut, then tie that rope around a tree. And they'll leave it there, and they'll let it sit and wait. Seems so simple, and yet, when Hungry Monkey comes, he slips his hand inside the coconut, he grabs the fruit, but what happens when he tries to pull it out? He's stuck. He can't get the fruit out. Now, there's an easy way for this monkey to get free. This monkey can easily get free. He only needs to do one thing. And what's that one thing? Let go of the fruit. You let go of the fruit, you're free. And you know what happens so often? They look the next day to see if their monkey trap worked. And sure enough, there is a monkey that still has his hand in the coconut because he is unwilling to let go of the fruit. In Mark chapter 10, we see Jesus on his next adventure. And a man enters the scene. We don't know much about this man, except for on a few different biblical accounts. We do learn that this man is young, and he's also a ruler of some sort. He has authority. And despite having great authority and power, I want you to notice something, that he runs up to Jesus and he kneels before him. I don't know much about rulers, but I can tell you one thing. Rulers don't bow down to other people. I know that. Other people bow down to the ruler, but not the other way around. And I do know that rulers don't run after people. That makes them seem desperate. Or maybe this man is desperate. Just like Zacchaeus last week, we talked about him. This ruler is seeking for something. He wants to know something from Jesus. Last week, we talked about in our city, in our community, in our modern world, and even our world 2,000 years ago, there are different things that people are seeking and longing for. They're seeking for love and belonging, right? They're seeking for identity and purpose. They want to know who they are, and they want to know why they were created. They want to know that they're safe and secure, that in this chaotic world, that they're going to be okay. They want to know truth because they feel that they've been lied to by so many different people, that they want to know what is truth and why should I believe it. But I think even the cherry on top is that I think people are looking for hope. They see the world around them. They see the hopelessness around them. They want to know when their life ends that there's a hope on the other side. And so this morning, I want to ask you the question, what is our ruler friend seeking for? Keep going, verse 17. This, and notice it in his question. The ruler says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So let's go back to our list here. Out of these things, what is our ruler friend looking for? You might say he's looking for potentially safety or security. That'd be a good one that he could choose. I think ultimately the thing that he is looking for, he's looking for hope. Notice it in the question once again. He's saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So after I die, the question that he is asking is, how do I get to heaven? And if you're Jesus, bingo. Like, this is what you're made for. This is exactly what you want. You've got them right where you want them. Slam dunk, easy win. This is what should be the game plan for Jesus, okay? Jesus, he hears this. He's like, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I am the way to eternal life." Boom. Right? John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Follow me." Boom. Done. That easy. Right? That's all Jesus needs to do. Lead him in the sinner's prayer. Let's go home. But Jesus tends to do things in unconventional ways, if you haven't learned already. Jesus says this, "Man, why do you call me good? That, like, don't you know that no one's good except God alone? And listen, man, like, you know the commandments, right? You know that you're not supposed to murder. You know you're not supposed to commit adultery or steal or bear false witness or defraud or honor your father. Just do those things, you're all set." Now, you're hearing this. What do you want to do with Jesus? Or at least I'll tell you what I want to do with Jesus after hearing that. If I'm hearing it as bystander, I want to say, "Hey, I'm going to borrow Jesus. Can you give us 1 minute?" I bring Jesus over to the side and I say, "Dude, what are you doing? Like, you are blowing this thing. All you need to do is just say the way to eternal life. You just say it's through you. That's all you have to do. And yet you're talking about, like, being good and like, no one's good except for God and following the command. What are you doing? You are screwing this thing up." Or is he? Go back again. I want you to look at this man's question again. And listen to the emphasis that this man has. What does he say? "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Did you catch it? This guy's mind, the way that he operates, he thinks that eternal life, to get it, is about doing something. It's about doing. So in this guy's world, he's thinking, "Man, if I just follow the Ten Commandments to the T, if I am just a good enough person and do good things for other people, if I just do all these things, if I check off the spiritual boxes that I need to do, then I will get into heaven." And I want you to notice there's two parts of irony that are in this passage. Did you notice them? This guy is searching to be good enough. And what does Jesus tell him? He says, "Listen, no one is good enough except for who? Except for God alone. Listen, you're trying to be good enough, but I'll tell you, you'll never be good enough. Only God is good enough." But what's the second part of the irony? Who's standing right in front of him? The Son of God. The way that he can receive eternal life through relationship with the guy that is standing right in front of him, he cannot see it. Full of irony. He's trying to earn his way, and he completely misses it. And what does he call him? Remind me, he misses it, because what does he refer to Jesus as? He refers to him as a what? Teacher, right? Nothing more, nothing less. So Jesus, how do you play this scenario, right? And Jesus, you ever have an onion, and the way that you get to the core of an onion, you just peel one layer at a time? This is exactly what Jesus is doing. He's just doing one layer at a time. He's like, "All right, We can play this game to its very end. If you are really seeking to be good enough to gain your eternal security, okay, let's see you do that. Let's see you go to its very end and see if you find satisfaction in the end. And so, listen to this man's response. Verse 20, he says, listen, Jesus, all these commandments, all these things, all these spiritual checkboxes, I have kept from my youth. You can hear the confidence that this man has, right? And when you see this, like, this comment, you're thinking, man, this guy, like, he's clueless. Like, he is so naive. Like, obviously, we all break the Ten Commandments, not to maybe those extreme, but we definitely break the heart of it plenty of times over, right? And I think the interesting part, as I was reflecting on this passage, is that I don't think he's trying to be arrogant. Like, I think when you read this, I think he's genuinely doing everything right on paper. Or at least he thinks he is. And yet something is still off within him. Do you notice, if he thought that he was good enough to earn his way into heaven, if he thought he was checking off enough spiritual boxes, then why would he even come to Jesus in the first place if he thought he was good enough? But notice, he's checking off the boxes. He's doing all the spiritual things right, and yet something's missing. Does that resonate with some people where you come to church on Sundays and you read your Bible and you pray and you do good things for other people and you're checking off those spiritual boxes, but man, in the end, you're still potentially like this guy right here, that have this internal fear of, am I doing enough? He's playing this game over and over and he's living in fear. Jesus, this is ultimately his question. Jesus, what am I missing? What am I missing? What am I doing wrong? Or what am I missing that I should be doing? Verse 21. Jesus, reflect on this with me. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him this one thing. You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You know what Jesus sees right here? He sees a man in a monkey trap. You hear me? No, he doesn't actually have his hand in a coconut, right? No, he's not grasping onto fruit, but he's grasping onto something, isn't he? What's he grasping onto? His wealth, his possessions, his stuff. He isn't letting go. And Jesus is telling him, if you let go of this one thing, you will be free. Just let it go. Give it away. And that's the sad part, isn't it? Is that you see that this man has a monkey trap, fruit in his hands. Is he willing to let it go? We'll see. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, I want you to get rid of the things that you so cherish and are so desperate to hold on to. He actually invites him into an invitation as well. Keep going. Go, sell all that you have. Take the thing that you are having a monkey trap in, the fruit that you're holding on to. Let that go. Surrender it to me. But also, come and what? Follow me. To follow me. When you follow someone, you're letting them take the lead, right? They get to set the agenda. They get to set the plans. You're not in the driver's seat anymore. You're not even in the passenger seat. You're in the back seat. You're watching it all play out. And Jesus is saying, listen, let me take the driver's seat. Follow me. And listen, when this concept of following me, Jesus never shares the roadmap. He never shares the way. He never shows you what's going to happen next. In fact, a lot of life of following Jesus means letting go of the things that you want to do and living by faith each and every day. It's going to be scary. It's going to be costly to follow him. It means that maybe I'm going to be hurt at times. And yet it's going to be the greatest adventure that you'll ever go on if you do it. Young man, young ruler, will you follow me on this journey? Will you take that one thing that you grasp onto, that you cherish, that you love, will you let it go? Will you surrender it to me? And will you follow me wherever I take you? Verse 22. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Listen to me carefully. There are many people who seek after Jesus, but there are very few that surrender to Jesus. There are many people that will say, yeah, I want to learn more about Jesus. Yes, I like what Jesus has to offer. But when Jesus lays it on the line and says, I don't want to just be your Savior, but I want to be your Lord. Well, then that's when it changes things for people. Because when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, well, you just get all the benefits and you don't have to worry about anything. But when Jesus asks you to be your Lord, that means allowing him to have complete reign and control of your very life. Many seek, very few surrender. Very few surrender. I think there are many people, even Christians today, who have their hands stuck in monkey traps. I think there are many people that and maybe this is a lesson for all of us, that we can do all the spiritual things. We can check all the spiritual checkboxes. We can do all these things, but not have a genuine, heartfelt relationship that is surrendered to him and following him. And that's a scary thought. This man can't do it. He has a tough time doing it. I think these monkey traps are everywhere. That's what the Bible calls idols. These things that have clung to our hearts that we have a difficult time of letting go and fully surrendering. I just want to spend a few minutes. I was writing down this week, what are some of these monkey traps? What are some of these things that we just grasp onto that we can't let go? And what I want to recommend you do is if you have your phone, just take a picture of this, because I want you to reflect on it over the next week or so and just think through, what are some of the monkey traps? What are some of the things that I'm grasping onto that I'm not letting go? Obviously, for the rich young ruler, wealth and possessions was a big thing for him, but it's so much more than that, isn't there? Things like control, things like, I want to be in the driver's seat, I don't want to let go. I like my plans, I don't like God's plans, I'd rather do my own plans. All the way to comfort and convenience. Man, it's so, my life is so easy and comfortable. I don't want to do anything that makes it more difficult. Maybe for some of you, there is a secret sin that nobody else knows about, but man, I'm stuck there. And some of you, actually, probably many of us, have unhealthy attachments. What do I mean by that? I'll give you an example. Your career is a good thing, but it can become a bad thing. It can become an unhealthy attachment. It can become an idol. Parents in the room, this is gonna pierce a little bit. Your kids, they're a great thing, but boy, they can also be an unhealthy attachment as well, where they become the epicenter of your life. For others, man, we just might fear loss. We might fear pain. We don't know what's around the corner, but we know that it's going to be difficult. And if we know it's going to be difficult, man, I don't know if I want to encounter that. Like, I'd rather take the path of least resistance. For some of us, yeah, man, maybe pride and reputation are the way. If I genuinely surrendered what Jesus wants me to surrender, man, that I might lose my reputation with other people. Man, my ego is pretty precious to me. I don't want to let that go. Some of you today, you're going to hear the promises later today that Jesus has to offer, and you kind of doubt that what I'm going to give up, that Jesus is actually going to provide in return. So we doubt and we wrestle. And we're like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. And listen, this is the litmus test for how to wrestle with this. You ready? If I figured out the one thing that you most love in this world, that say that isn't Jesus, and Jesus asked you to give that to him, would Jesus still be worth it in the end? I think of like somebody like Hannah in the Old Testament, right? Hannah ends up giving up her, she says, if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you. Many of us would keep that child. Everything we have is a gift from God. And if that's the case, it should be that we have open hands, but oftentimes we have closed fists with that thing grasped in our hearts and minds. And so I ask you today, out of the things that you see, the monkey traps that are here, what is the thing that you have a closed fist on? The thing that you have a difficult time letting go. The thing that you don't want to let go. The thing that maybe Jesus is asking you to let go. So difficult. I want to reiterate that. I'm saying this for me. Listen, this right here is difficult. It is so difficult. Jesus understands this. Keep going in the verses. He says, verse 24, listen, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God, right? This is so difficult for us to be able to let go and to give the things over that God is asking us to give over, to surrender those things. And it's difficult because these things rooted within us are the things that we most desire and the things we most fear. They're the things that motivate us, and they're the things that often control our decision-making. For the rich young ruler, his life was surrounded, even though he was doing all these religious, spiritual things on the side, his heart was captivated by the wealth and possessions that he had. Those things, whatever the root cause is in your heart, that is what will flourish out on how you live. And even more so, I'm reminded of Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus gathers around his disciples. You know what he says? He says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, you must what? You must deny yourself, and you must take up your cross. How often? Daily. You must surrender your idols, everything you have, daily to him, and follow me. Listen, that is difficult. This isn't just when I get saved that I just, you know, give things up. This is a daily routine of, because there are things, there are idols, they're like weeds, right? They crop up, and unless you get to the root of them, they will come right back. It's a lot of uprooting. It's a lot of searching our hearts to see the monkey traps that our hearts get entangled with. It is so, so difficult. The disciples are incredibly shocked by this, by the way. When you keep going, the disciples see this guy who is the spiritual role model that you could imagine. They believe that God has blessed him to be a ruler and has blessed him with wealth because he is spiritually doing all the right things and spiritually checking off the box really well. And yet Jesus says to him that he will not inherit eternal life because he won't give up that one thing. And you look at him, he's like the Photoshop picture of what you would think a Christian should look like. And if he can't make it in, and you look at us, man, compared to him, I don't know if I would even come close. That's why they even ask the question, if he can't make it in, then who in the world can be saved? And Jesus, I love how Jesus responds. He says, listen, you're kind of right. Like on your own, it's impossible. Like there is no way that you can fully surrender to the Lord, unless God is with you. And God is in the midst of it. God searches the heart. He knows the heart. He inspects the heart. And he does heart surgery on the heart to see what your true heart desires. The things that you are grasping on, he asks you to let go. And God is the one that will help you pull it out along the way. He's the one that actually helps us lead to surrender. You know, as a church, we've been talking through our mission and vision. I've been sharing with you, man, we live in one of the darkest cities, states in the nation. We talked about how there's so many scattered sheep, we've been calling them, just people that are spiritually lost, spiritually wandering, don't know where to go. But we say, man, there are people that are hungry as well. We were talking about that as pastors this morning. We were praying. We're like, man, there's some people that are really hungry. And we've noticed that there are people here that want to know all those things that we talked about, that are seeking for love and belonging and truth and all these different things. And our goal is to bring them not only to be saved, become transformed followers of Jesus. And we talked about the process of becoming a transformed follower of Jesus, saying it starts with seeking. It starts with trying to find the heart motive of those things and going after those heart motives. But more importantly, the reality is this. We can do all the seeking in the world. I can share the gospel with hundreds of people in our community. You can too. You can talk to your friends, your neighbors, whoever. But listen, you can do all the seeking in the world, but God's going to have to be the one that leads to the surrender part. God's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can mold and change and transform hearts. So in that case, like, why, Adam, why did you even put that as one of our values? Like, if God's going to do it, then why add it? Listen, we can be so crazy busy sometimes that we don't leave space for God to actually speak into our lives and to move into our midst. And that's why when we're talking about this idea of like, what are we doing as individuals that are helping people surrender? We're obviously, God's going to produce the fruit of anyone that surrenders. It's going to be him that works. But listen, we can provide spaces and opportunities and moments for people to be able to do that. Listen, Pastor Jerry and I have been deleting minutes of our messages. You know why? Because we want to provide a space at the end of the service for God to be able to speak to you. It's why we have this prayer time. It's why we allow, have prayer team up front so they can pray with you, because we believe that those moments are probably some of the most impactful moments that we have. More powerful than words is allowing God to speak through the Holy Spirit into your life. Change your life, move you, convict you, challenge you. That's why we have prayer and fasting nights. We've done them in the past. We'll continue to do them. That's why we do retreats. That's why we have prayer groups, is because we believe that only God can do this kind of work. So we need to leave space for him to be able to do that work. We can't just be like the rich young ruler doing. No, we need to let him move without us trying to intervene. It's why we do these things. It's why we focus on these things. And listen, as God speaks to us, and as he convicts us, and as he challenges us to step into areas of faith that we might be afraid of, listen, this starts to happen over time. It doesn't happen like with massive people coming up, but it starts with one person that's being spoken to by God to obey him in some capacity. Listen, the disciples, I want you to notice this. The disciples in verse 28, I love Peter. Peter says, listen, Jesus, like we, the disciples, we have left everything and followed you. Like we don't have much to offer, but we've given everything that we have. And when Peter says this, when he says he left everything, he means it. He left everything. Look at the preceding verses. Jesus says, listen, anyone that wants to follow me, there is no one that has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands. There is no Christianity without sacrifice. Surrender is sacrifice. God calls us to not just have this comfortable Christianity, but have sacrifice. To lay things down. For the disciples, man, it cost them their living situation. It cost them relationships. It cost them being near their loved ones. It cost them opportunities in this world. It cost them comforts that other people had. It cost them careers. It cost them reputation. It cost them everything. Absolutely everything it cost them. And yet in the end, what did they say? They said that no matter what, even when we lose all these things, to them, following Jesus was worth it in the end. And even more, I love this too. There's a lot at stake for following Jesus. But in the midst of losing everything, you gain everything. You hear me? In the midst of losing everything, everything that the world would have to offer and cherish, you gain everything and 100-fold. Listen, I'm not telling you that you're going to get 100 more houses because you give up your house. That's not how that works, right? But what I'm telling you is this, is that, listen, you might have relationships that are broken because you're a follower of Jesus, but I'll tell you what, you just received a new family of brothers and sisters and mothers and children when you do surrender your life to Jesus, and your family's right here. It's the people of God. It's the children of God. And more than that, Jesus doesn't just share with you that the cost of what you're following. He doesn't just share that you have a new family and a new home, but what he does share is that even in the midst of persecution and trials and being mocked and ridiculed, maybe even betrayed for following Jesus, he says in the end, it will be all worth it because in the end you will have eternal life with me, that the greater things are to come. There is greater hope beyond the grave. There's greater purpose and joy and ultimately hope because of him. And so with that in mind, with sharing all of this, I know this was really fast this morning, but I just want to share one real thought. Is this morning, are you willing to let go of the thing that you have your hand in, the fruit that you have, the monkey trap that you're in? Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to surrender it to Jesus this morning? And are you willing to actually follow him wherever he calls you to? Some of you, I have two questions up here. Some of you, when I ask you, what do I need to surrender today and give over to Jesus? There might be some things that were on the screen earlier, the types of monkey traps that we get in, that you're like, man, I just don't know if I can let that go. For me, you know, I'll speak for me. One of the things that I've wrestled with when I looked at that list that I had, and I struggle with control. I struggle with letting go. Jesus, I want to set the agenda. I want to set the plan. I want to do it. Stay in the passenger seat. You with me? And Jesus says, get out of the car. What is the thing that you are in the driver's seat on that Jesus is saying, get in the back seat? Let me drive. What is the thing that you have so tight of a grip that Jesus is saying, that's the one thing that's holding you back from a genuine, real, heartfelt, submissive relationship with me? What is it? For the rich young ruler, it's possessions. But what is it for you? Some of you today, you've been doing the best you can to have open hands, right? But one of the things that's been difficult for you is not to give some of those things up, but to actually follow Jesus where he's called you to go. Where do I need to follow Jesus where he's actually called me to? Even if it scares us half to death. It's terrifying, right? Because we don't know where he's going to take us. There might be some of you today, maybe one or two, I don't know. But there might be someone here today that listen, you're here and you've been seeking after Jesus for a long time. You've been hearing about Jesus. You know all the benefits that Jesus has to offer. You've even maybe potentially made him your savior, but you have not made him your Lord. And it's a package deal, friends. One comes with the other. You don't separate them. Some of you today have not surrendered to Jesus as Lord. If that's you today, Can I share with you something? There are a bunch of people in this room that have actually gave that surrender. And they said, yes, it's cost us something. It's cost us big time at times. It's cost us friendships. It's hurt us at times. It's been bumpy along the way. But they would tell you it was worth it in the end. And it's continually worth it in the end. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward this morning. And invite the tech team, if you don't mind, just turn the lights down and just be able to play some music in the background. I just want to provide a space to allow God to speak this morning. To speak in regards to what is in my heart. God, help me do heart surgery this morning. Dissect what's in there. The things that I can't even see right now. God, help me see it. Help me not have a tight grip on it, but to let go, surrender it, give it to him, and then follow him. I just want to spend a few moments. If you're here today, God has been prompting in your heart. I want to invite you to pray. Pray for how God is moving. We have a prayer team that if you're here today and you're like, man, I want to surrender this thing that I've been gripped onto. Maybe it's been for weeks or months or years. I've been holding on to it so tight. And I feel like I'm so enslaved to it. I just need to let it go. This prayer team is here. If you want to surrender something this morning, they would love to pray with you and talk with you about it. Listen, if you just want to pray in your seat today, that is okay. If you want to be like the rich young ruler and just kneel before the stage and just say, I'm giving it all. God, I give you my plans. I give you my dreams. I give you my things. I give you my stuff. I give you my spouse. I give you my kids. I give it all. Because it's not mine to begin with. It's yours. God, help me let go because I'm so easy for me to just hold tight. If that's you today and you just need to kneel before, the space is open for you. I want you to follow how God is leading you this morning. I know for me, I need to lay some things down today too. So I just want to provide a few minutes. Just pray. How is God speaking to you this morning? What are some things that he's calling you to let go? And how is he calling you to follow him today?